Well, unfortunately, the tooth was taken away by those authorities out there at the lock. I wonder if they've ever attempted DNA, Steve, on that. Anything ever leak out?
Well, the thing is that McDonald has interviewed hundreds of locals over the last 15 years, and they know what the creature is, but they don't discuss it. I mean, if you're a tourist and you walk into a local pub there and you start talking about it, a couple might say a few words here and there, but they don't discuss it. And the reason is they know what it is, and it's not a plesiosaur. It's not a friendly creature. It's nothing like the Disney World fantasy that they've created for tourism.
It's not a romantic thing to do or this really wonderful mystery, is it?
No, it's and if you saw the creature, it's pretty nasty. It's vicious. It's nothing that you'd want to run into. And you certainly wouldn't, it'd be interesting if it was in an aquarium. You know, you'd probably sell it out, but... You probably wouldn't be camping out on the banks of Loch Ness. Now, the land sightings tend to occur in the winter, again, when it's dark out. There's no tourists that come to Loch Ness in the winter. They all come in the spring and summer when it's lighter out. And when it's lighter out, the creature has no reason to make it to land. There's plenty of fish during the spring and summer. The salmon are migrating. There's also rats and otters, and there's deer. But for it to come on land, it's because it's hungry and because the loch is suffering from a long winter and no fish in there at the time or not enough to keep it fed. So this is probably what happened.
You do not believe it's prehistoric?
No. No, I don't. I think it's a relative or perhaps a mutation of a species that currently lives in Loch Ness. And that's Bill McDonald's theories also, and makes perfect sense. And the tooth that is... on that website that these guys put up matches what its smaller cousin would look like.
Would you call it reptile, a mammal, a fish? What would it be?
It would be an amphibious fish.
It would be?
An amphibious fish.
It has the ability to come on land.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, that's a scary thought.
It really is. And what's interesting, and this is Bill McDonald's theories, and I would concur with it, that other lakes around the world that have Lake Champlain and Champion and other lakes, it's the same species.
I was going to ask you about that because Champ has got that romantic image as well, that great myth. So you think that too could be this 50 to 60 foot whatever fish it could be?
Yeah, no, I don't know in Lake Champlain if it's that big. I don't know the geography of it or if the thing is trapped in there. It may not be, but... it could be a smaller version of, but in Loch Ness, it's definitely trapped.
Are you pretty sure that the people at the lock would know this, or they simply are baffled too?
The ones that have been there for a while, they know it. The Highlanders, they know what it is. It's nothing that they're protecting their tourism industry, which is why the water bailiff did what he did. I mean, you're talking about. Millions and millions of dollars that are coming into the Highlands that build this city and really are developing the area, which when we talk about development, you know, we're talking about increased energy needs, more oil drilling that's going on in the Moray Firth. And whenever you do those things, you're talking about more pollution, and the pollution eventually can make its way into the lock and cause its own problems.
Kind of paint a picture for us, Steve, if you could, so we can see this mental illustration of what it might look like.
Serpent-like. Slimy, dark brown. When it moves through the water, it slithers like a snake. Big, sharp teeth, needle-like teeth, like you might see in a viper fish with teeth hanging out of its side.
Yes. Head like a snake?
It's similar to a snake, And here's the most amazing thing, the teeth. There's mandibular teeth, meaning there's a row that runs straight down the middle of the roof of its mouth, and that would have been one of the tooth that would have been the tooth that had got caught
broken
in
off,
the deer's rib cage and got yanked off because they're not deeply rooted.
That is a rough, frightening thought, isn't it?
It's certainly not a smiling plesiosaur.
What would it be close to that is on this planet and known?
It would be close to an eel.
A giant eel.
A giant eel, and that's what the locals know that it is. Now, it's not exactly an eel, and you know, I don't want to give everything away in the lock.
But it must have flippers or something then, right?
Well, it does have fins on its side behind its head that are used for propulsion.
And so the getting on land is merely like a huge snake would do. It would just simply slither its way on land.
And this is an 8,000-pound eel.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the size of that thing?
Got to be scary as hell. And the people that have had land sightings with it, I mean, there was one sighting where a guy was on a motorcycle in the winter. Again, these land sightings all take place in the winter. And the guy almost went off the side of the road.
He's lucky he didn't go right into the mouth of this thing. How big would the mouth be if it had to, you know, if you picture it opening up completely?
Well, if we look at the deer carcass that's on that site, LochNessTooth.com, it would have probably it probably gripped the deer. I mean, these things are quick. So probably went close to shore, and the deer was probably, it was a waterfall, so it was probably drinking from the waterfall, which is fresh water. Probably snatched it before the deer could move, grabbed it from behind, and probably shook its head pretty wildly to rip it apart. So probably talking about a mouth 4 or 5 feet.
All right, so if you took your arms and kind of extended them out, and then like in the shape of a jaw that was moving, maybe a little bigger than that.
Maybe a little bigger than that. Yeah, that's a good, accurate description.
That's huge.
It is.